The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. For the one who is not against us is for us. For truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die, and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves, and be at peace with one another." This is the word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. A terrifying death, having a millstone hung around your neck and being thrown into the sea, disfiguring your body, tearing out an eye, or cutting off your hand or foot. These sound like ideas for a horror movie, or perhaps actions resulting from some sort of terrible mental illness. They aren't, though. These actions are ones Jesus recommends as being preferable, in certain circumstances, to an alternative. So what is it that is so bad that it would be better to be drowned or to mutilate your own body rather than to have that thing happen? As we heard in today's gospel reading, it's causing one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, or causing yourself to sin. Causing to sin, however, is a bit of an unfortunate translation. It doesn't really get to the heart of the matter. The word Jesus uses refers to tripping a person up or causing them to stumble and fall. It's used elsewhere in the Gospels in reference to falling away from faith. So then, more than merely causing someone, including yourself, to fall into a sin, Jesus is speaking of being the cause of anyone renouncing the faith and thus losing salvation. What Jesus is saying, then, is that it would be preferable to die a terrible death before incurring the guilt of being the cause of someone else's damnation, and that it would be preferable for you to lose your limbs and sight than to have your hand or foot or eye be the cause of your falling away from your Savior. When you begin to consider Jesus' words, it's tempting to assert that you don't really have the ability to cause anyone to fall from the faith. After all, that's between them and God, right? Wrong. Perhaps you could disavow any responsibility if God hadn't indicated quite clearly that each one of us is his brother's keeper, and if he hadn't commanded you to love your neighbor as yourself. The Apostle James speaks to the other side of this coin in today's epistle. "My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. We can't doubt that James has conveyed the Lord's will. Jesus wants us to seek and restore those who have strayed from him. The Savior, who is concerned about a single lost sheep, certainly wants his followers to follow his example. He will not look the other way if you or I cause one of his own to wander or stray. But Jesus isn't only concerned that you not cause anyone else to fall from the faith. He's also